Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. You are listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. My producer, Matt Neely, is here in the studio with me as well, too, to help out. We are Jump in Tucson. I've got an amazing lineup for you guys today. There's been an incredible number of things happening in Tucson, Arizona. Today is February 7th, and we're looking at the upcoming date of February 14th. Now, those of you in the restaurant business like me, think of that as a pretty big holiday, right? There is a lot going on February 14th. Gets me pretty excited. However, there's something else going on February 14th as well, too, that maybe hasn't been on your radar. But for a sports fan, I'm going to bring it up to you right now. That is pitchers and catchers reporting for spring training baseball. February 14th, the Diamondbacks pitchers and catchers report. But unfortunately, those pitchers and catchers are not reporting to Tucson, Arizona. They are instead going to report to the Talking Stick Arena in Scottsdale. Quite a bummer for the local fans here of baseball in the 520, for sure. Of all the things that I think of that we have done wrong in Tucson, that loss of baseball, both spring training and semi-pro or professional baseball, ring in as some of the heaviest to me. As a server and bartender in the 1990s, I remember the excitement of having major league players come into our restaurants. We would have Albert Bell, Frank Thomas, and this was the era before everyone carried cell phone cameras. So let's just say a few late night shenanigans were had with MLB players, and it was pretty amazing for us to get to enjoy that opportunity. But since 2010, we haven't had that opportunity in Tucson to enjoy that. And I'm hoping that we can find some way to change this. Earlier, you were listening to Chris DeSimone talk about his meeting with Heather Lappin, who we had introduced last week as a guest on our show, as a Pima County Sheriff candidate. And he happened to talk about Clarence Dupnik, the sheriff that ran Tucson for 7 election cycles. Now, what do Clarence Dupnik and Major League Baseball or professional baseball in Tucson have in common? It turns out that Sheriff Dupnik named the Tucson Toros in 1969, the winner of a naming contest for our beloved Toro team, right? And so Clarence was actually the genesis of the Toros and Tuffy the Toro. Amazing, right? Like, interesting factoid there for sure. And so today I wanted to bring in a couple special guests to talk about baseball in the past in Tucson, and maybe what we can do in the future to bring it on back. And so I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine here today, who happens to be a Tucson High School graduate, a star at baseball at the University of New Mexico. He got his graduate degree from Northern Arizona University, a United States Marine Corps veteran, the former athletic director of the Pima Community College West Campus, the current vice president of the Pima Community College Desert Vista Campus, and board member of the Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority, Mr. Edgar Soto.
Thank you for having me, Grant. And you just fired me up right now, because I started thinking back when baseball was here. So I'm going to expose my age a little bit here. So back when I was a kid, I used to go to games at High Corbett. This is even before Keno Sports Complex was around. So check out this experience I had. I was there watching the game. Reggie Jackson was playing with the Angels at the time. Hit a ground ball down the right field line. A buddy of mine, Eddie Carrasco, jumped over the fence because this is a Reggie Jackson foul ball.
Right?
Got him all fours, ready to field it. It popped up, and then I ended up grabbing it from the other side of the fence. So I had Reggie Jackson's foul ball. After that, I'm walking to the car. We're walking on the auxiliary fields. I run into Rod Carew. So I don't know if any of you know Rod Carew are. Rod Carew signs my baseball that Reggie Jackson hit. And that was like one of the coolest things ever. So you got me fired up, because I miss baseball so much. Of course, I was the baseball coach at Pima for 14 years. And so us not having baseball and that leaving at that time, I was front row. I was part of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, and we were doing everything we could to keep it. We're working with the White Sox because they were gone. But here's what's interesting, Grant. We actually had an agreement with the Diamondbacks and Rockies were going to stay. And at that time, we were negotiating with the Washington Nationals, Baltimore Orioles, and the Milwaukee Brewers. We were going to build a 3-team stadium in Marana. We actually had the plans done. it was ready to go, 2008. What happened in 2008, we had the bill because we wanted to create some sustainable funding, and it was going to give us a taxing authority. It was going to be about 0.1% sale tax on like hotels, rental car, restaurants. But everybody from those industries were on board because they knew, like you said earlier, it was going to bring business to their restaurants, to their, you know, rental cars and hotels. So 2 weeks before, we had a senator that held on to it. Republican senator held on to the last day. Last day of session, it was a controversial deal going on with a bill. It was I think it had to do with the same-sex marriage stuff going on. So there was some controversy there. Our bill actually never got to vote. At that time, I think the Democrats walked out, and it just, in a second, it all disappeared. And had that not happened, think about this, Grant, that I-10 corridor going from Tucson to Phoenix would have been filled with business and industry, good jobs, livable wages. So we like were this close, and that's kind of why I got involved in some of this other stuff.
No, that's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing it here. I think that of all the things you could go back that we've made a mistake in Tucson, losing baseball across the board is one of the biggest ones. And so you're on the board of the Southern Arizona Sports and Film Tourism and Film Authority.
Yes.
So tell us about that. We've got a couple minutes over here before we go to break. Okay. Give us a little rundown.
Well, I'll just give you a quick rundown in a couple minutes here. So I'm the chair of the Southern Arizona Sports Tourism and Film Authority, and it's similar to the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. But when we went back to try to get that bill before it sunset, we ended up getting a sponsor for a new bill. So David Gowan and I hit it off on the baseball side of it. Even though I'm a D and he's an R, but we all came together with, hey, here's some positive that can happen for Southern Arizona. So he said, you know, I'm not going to just do Pima County. Let's include Pima, Pinal, Graham, Greenlee, Santa Cruz, and Cochise. So what we're trying to do with the authority is give incentives through grants, through other things, and make the connections for these organizations to come and put Southern Arizona in the good light so all these business industry wants to come here to Southern Arizona.
Amazing. Thank you for all your hard work in that endeavor. You are listening to Grant Krueger and Edgar Soto on Jump in Tucson. When we come back after the break, we're going to bring in a special guest who knows a few things about both radio and owning baseball teams in Southern Arizona. Edgar and I are going to get to ask him a few questions about that and see if there are some moves that we can do to bring this back here in the future. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your local home for news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson. This is Grant Krueger. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, live with special guest Edgar Soto from the Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority today. We have been talking baseball, spring training and professional baseball, and maybe some ways we could bring it back to Southern Arizona. But before we start looking forward, Edgar, and find ways to make things better, perhaps we could take a little look into our past and see what we could learn from. And so today I'd like to introduce a special guest, a graduate of Saguaro High School and the University of Arizona, a guy who knows a thing or two about radio and professional baseball, Mr. Jay Zucker.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Thank you so much for joining Edgar and I today.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Edgar.
For those listeners that don't know, Jay was the owner of both the Tucson Sidewinders and Tucson Toros franchise from approximately the year 2000 until 2010. Is that correct, Jay?
That is correct, yes.
Awesome. And so we've got a number of questions for you over here. We just wanted to talk a little bit about baseball. We know you're a big pro baseball guy and big pro sports guy, and have taken a lot of swings here for Southern Arizona. Do you think Tucson can support professional baseball in any capacity?
Yes, in some limited capacity. I believe we can have a team again. But there's a lot of variables that make up the success of these teams. And we need to have all of these variables come together so that it would be kind of the perfect storm, so to speak, to bring professional baseball back to Tucson.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And Obviously, the location comes into play as well, too. For listeners that don't know, High Corbett Field was built in 1927, which basically means in 4 years, we're going to have a 100-year anniversary of that stadium. And Tucson Electric Park, now known, of course, as the Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium, I believe was christened in 1998. And you guys started playing ball there in 98 or in the year 2000?
That is correct. The Tucson Toros era kind of took a pause in 97 and became, in 98, the Sidewinders. With the change of affiliation from the Astros to the Diamondbacks, the synergy was to host the minor league team, the AAA team of the Sidewinders, in the same venue as the spring training Diamondbacks. So that continuity was good for operations. However, it did cause a little bit of a challenge for the previous owner, Martin Stone, who brought the Toros over to Keno. And the challenge was the location of the stadium. The stadium, we all know, for Keno is built there on the south side of town. And it wasn't as convenient, but it was more of a perception that was far away. We tried to break that perception with a fun promotion. We did world's longest first pitch. We started on High Corbett pitcher's mound, and we volleyed the ball in a line of fans all the way from High Corbett home plate all the way to Keno Sports home plate. And we did this in with video. We had a helicopter shooting it. Some of the TV stations ran it live. It was a lot of fun. But the purpose of it was to show the community that it really wasn't that far away. The unfortunate thing was the community never embraced that venue for a minor league sports experience. Of course, when it comes to spring training, it was successful because the Diamondbacks were there, the White Sox were there, and literally 50% of the fans that were there were non-Tucson folks. They were our winter visitors. So when it came to our season, we really struggled. In professional baseball, there are three revenue sources. You have your ticket base, which is the obvious one. You have your sponsorships, which are the corporations that back you and buy sponsorships and get their business involved with the team. And then you have your groups and the hospitality. We struggled with all three revenues. And unfortunately, as a minor league team, we were the second year at Keno Sports, known back then as Tucson Electric Park, TEP. There was never a year that any of us ever broke even there. It was always a struggle of how much are we losing financially. So that was the best analogy I could give you folks is that's like being in a two-story 4,000 square foot home, and it's just you and your wife. The kids have left home, and you've got this big house and this big overhead. And that's kind of what we were dealing with. So when the league required the move of the Sidewinders to Reno, we weren't going to have anything to do with that. And we fought the league and lost. The league took the team from us, sold it to SK Baseball, and they moved it over to Reno, where Reno gave them a brand new stadium downtown at no charge. And the team, the new owners, got to keep the stadium as well. So quite a financial incentive for them to move the team. In our hopes of keeping professional baseball alive, what we did was we recreated the Tucson Toros. Now, Tucson Toros could not affiliate because affiliation is kind of a territorial thing. California is A ball. Most of Texas is Double A, and some of the Midwest. Triple A has its limited point parts. There's a team in Fresno, a team in Sacramento in California. Then there was only one team in Arizona. Originally, our franchise were the Phoenix Giants. when we moved down to Tucson, we were actually the Phoenix team. We were not the Toros. The Toros technically moved to Fresno. That little complex thing there, side note. Long story short, gentlemen, it was a situation where there was no affiliation through MLB available. So we found a independent league called the Golden Baseball League, and we recreated the Toros in hopes of keeping professional baseball alive until we were able to talk our friends in Portland to move their team down to Tucson as the Padres. At that point, it was a logical transition to cease the Toros operation and welcome the Padres until, once again, the Pacific Coast League abandoned Tucson and moved the Padres to El Paso.
Well, I'll tell you, Jay, first of all, I want to honor you for such an amazing experience I had when I was out there helping the Sidewinders. You remember with Tom Spencer and Pedrique and some of the managers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We had an amazing time.
I know financially it probably wasn't the most beneficial, but you did create some amazing memories for a lot of people. Myself, I mean, I even went on a trip with to the Sacramento with the River Cats and saw their facility, how they do things, and really thought, wow, this would be great if we could do something like this in Tucson. And then, you know, with the home run contest with Steve Finley, Luis Gonzalez, we had a Rubio Durazo come through there who was a Pima product. So I just want to honor you for that because it was an amazing experience. Now, here's my question for you, because things have changed in Tucson and I'm pretty optimistic, and there's a lot of restaurants opening up in the area. You have potential for the Mosaic Quarters and Frank Knott's doing some things out there. And if we get these dominoes set up the right way, I feel there's still some opportunities. So just to share with you, 2025, we're planning on having some games with the Diamondbacks and Cleveland Guardians there. And so that's going to happen 2025. We're also currently one of four cities that are in the bid process for hosting the World Baseball Classic qualifiers, us, Vero Beach, Orlando, actually the country of Colombia. So there's some things coming that potentially could bring back some baseball. And I'd just love to get your thoughts on some of this. We had a gentleman, Salvador Guitarrera from Mexico City, who has owned some teams in Mexico, and he wants to have a team out here in Tucson, Arizona, to play in that Pacific League with the Naranjeros and the Obligon Yaquis. So, I mean, there are some things there that potentially could happen. You've probably attended some of the fiestas de baseball in October. And those stands are filled with fans, a lot of people, they get the band going. There's some potential here, I think, for some international things that we can do. So I do want to get your thoughts on that and maybe talk to you offline about that as well.
Edgar, I totally agree with you. And as I shared at the beginning of our conversation, we need the variables to all come together, that perfect storm. And what you just described can be that perfect storm in bringing professional baseball back to Tucson. Would we see it as a MLB-affiliated team? Probably not, because there's no more expansion teams. There's no opportunity unless we raid another city, as Reno did with us, as El Paso did with us, and take another team from another city. And it would have to be because of territory, a Triple-A team. That's not likely, but what is highly likely...
I think we got to go for it to break here, right?
Yeah, we're going to cut to a quick break. You are listening to Greg Kruger, Edgar Soto, and Jay Zucker on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson and 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We are live here today with Grant Kruger and my special guest, Edgar Soto from the Southern Arizona Tourism and Film Authority, and Jay Zucker, former owner of the Tucson Sidewinders and Toros. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No, we're excited to talk Tucson baseball again. I'm a big fan of the Toros. Tuffy the Toro, right? A logo, a brand that I still think resonates strong here in Southern Arizona years after the fact. And we were talking about the stadium's location and whether that might be ideal or not to bring back baseball in any capacity in Southern Arizona. What can we do, guys, to get back Thirsty Thursdays over here?
Very good question. Edgar, I'm going to allow you to share your thoughts on that one.
I mean, I think we have to be open-minded that it might not be MLB, but there's an opportunity for some international play with the World Baseball Classic really being something that is very, very popular. International play might not be something that would be looked down on. We also have had the Koreans here, potentially have some Japan teams there. But if we had some type of international teams where MLB teams during spring training could come play, and then maybe a team, international team here that would play in that Pacifico League, I think there's some potential there. I mean, I think we'd have to get the right people in the room, Jay, you being one of those people, to help us figure out how we can put all this together. That's my thoughts. And the other thought I had was, I was kind of excited that we thought we might have a chance for the AAA Oakland A's when all that movement with MLB and them moving to Vegas. So I probably think that's off the table, but there's potential for international play in baseball.
I agree with Edgar Grant. The international play, it has a good fan base in Tucson, which is critical for its success. And it allows the community to bring in some really unique exhibition style baseball with professional players. It's a more realistic approach than what was just noted, bringing in another MLB franchise, which is not likely at this time. The only available venue would be Keno Sports, because of course U of A has got High Corbett now, and that's not a shared venue at all. Keno is situated where it can accommodate a large number of fans. And these exhibition games, because they are one-offs, do garner a big fan base and the facilities that venue offers. So I support that vision. I believe that's our future for baseball in Tucson.
Jay, as somebody that ran operations in what was Tucson Electric Park, now Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium, that stadium was built in 1998, right? And at the time, it was pretty state-of-the-art. But does anybody still have a cell phone from 1998? Who's driving a car from 1998 right now? Like, is there like a need for a new stadium if we bring in baseball?
Good question, Grant, and I love your analogy about the cell phone. Part of the reason why we lost the Diamondbacks and White Sox, among many, several reasons, was that the stadium's age, that it was getting a little bit old back then, and the major league teams wanted the new and better cell phones and stadiums, and that's what they were offered up in the Phoenix Valley area. The situation we have is this is the only venue available. The cost of creating another venue, another minor league baseball complex, or even major league, the cost of that development is just astronomical and couldn't justify one-off type of international events. Maybe if we had a AAA opportunity, that might warrant another stadium. But at this point, looking at it from the financial side, the best thing we could do is put a little paint on the stadium and make it work. Does it have the infrastructure to work? Yes, it does. Does it have the comforts and all the bells and whistles of the newer stadiums? No, but for one-offs, we could get away with that.
And do you think that location is now viable with what's going on with the Mosaic Quarter, the idea to build up around this? There's been a lot of lamenting amongst the folks here in the 520 that the stadium should have been built downtown, or it should have been built on the northwest side, and perhaps its location still 27 years after the fact is still not ideal.
Yes, that has always been a challenge, and it's kind of interesting. When you look back at the 90s, there were 30 stadiums built in the United States. 29 of them were built in downtown areas. Only one was not, and this was the one that was not. I'm not saying that it was wrong or right. It was just not going with the culture of where baseball was, revitalizing the new downtowns and such. What would be the perfect location? Well, it was presented many years ago before Tucson Electric Park was developed. It was at Inter Exchange at 19 and 10, close to downtown. There were a lot of good folks like Jim Click that were really strong in promoting that. Is that viable today? Economically, I couldn't say so, unless, again, we had the opportunity of bringing back a AAA team to our community. But for the concept and the vision that Edgar was just sharing with us, which I think is our best future, maybe we should just look at what we have at Keno Sports and make that work.
No, a very fair statement indeed. Very sage advice from somebody that knows his way around a baseball diamond tier. Thank you, Jay, for coming on to join us and talk a little bit of baseball here on Jump in Tucson with your host Grant Kruger and Edgar Soto. Jump in Tucson's the latest show here on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, following up Chris DeSimone's Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 a.m. We're going to be every day from 9 to 10 a.m. Yesterday, you got to hear the late, great Ted Maxwell. General Maxwell is always very exciting and brings in some amazing political guests. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Tourism and Attractions Group, and he's got Michelle Conklin and Adam Farrell Wortman, both from the Tucson Botanical Gardens. On Friday, you've got Dr. Ed Ackerley bringing in Deborah Plum and Theo Windisch from Base Camp for Veterans. And so we've got some amazing shows coming up here in the future on Jump in Tucson. When we come back after the break, we're going to continue a little deeper into Edgar over here. Edgar has really taken on a lot here in Tucson. He sits on a lot of boards, and he's looking at a new challenge coming up in the future, above and beyond just baseball. This happens to be a political challenge, and he's going to make a bit of an announcement over here for what he might be looking at in a particular district here in Pima County Board of Supervisors. And so we're going to talk about that with Edgar Soto on our final segment, coming back to Jump in Tucson, your home for local news and talk, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. You're listening to Jump in Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger. I'm here with special guest Edgar Soto. We have been talking baseball in Southern Arizona, and it's been a fascinating conversation. A big thank you again to Jay Zucker, a true titan of Southern Arizona sports and business, and really phenomenal to hear his take on what we can and can't do moving forward. But looking at the future, Edgar, you've got a little bit of political news out there. Why don't you share with our guests what you're going to be up to?
Well, I've tried to put out this flame or desire to run for office for a while, but it kept sparking back up somehow. But I've decided that, and I've filed already, I've decided I'm going to run for Pima County Supervisor District 3, Sharon Bronson's old position. Currently, Sylvia Lee's in that position, good friend of mine. And I'm going to see what happens. What kind of got me to do this, Grant, is when I was part of that bill to create the Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, Film Authority, I learned so much from lobbying to talking to people, just trying to get some of these things over the finish line. And I've realized if we want to get anything done here in Southern Arizona, it has to start at the policy level. And so we've got so much potential here. And I think with some of the things that are going on that are positive right now with the Prosperity Initiative and some things that are happening throughout the county right now, that if we get the right people in the room, the right team, we can really be set up for some success and start creating pathways to prosperity for our community in Pima County. So I'm excited. I'm going for it full board. I do have some opponents that are very well informed and also are going to do a good job running. So it's going to be a challenge, but I'm up for it.
So breaking news over here, Edgar Soto running as a Democrat in the Democrat primary for District 3 Board of Supervisor. That election will be on Tuesday, August the 6th. Those early ballots go out on July the 10th. So we essentially have an election month, as we like to say over here, which doesn't give you a whole lot of time. Like right now, it's actually already the 7th of February. So that's not that far away, Edgar.
Yeah, you know, I've got some catch up to play here, but I think I've got the right team that are going to be helping me. You know, I've been here in Tucson my whole life, with the exception when I went to college or was in the Marine Corps. But the one thing I could say is that I really care about this community, and I want to make sure that we have things set up so that we can, you know, I work with students every day, right? I work at Pima Community College. I'm not a career politician. I'm a practitioner. All these rules, policy, things that are happening, laws, I actually use them in my day-to-day, talking to the students, seeing what they want. And what I've realized is this, is that what students really want is they want a good job with a livable wage so they could live a life of meaning and purpose. And our job is to, as a government, as a county, is to remove barriers for them to do that and to create access, because there's a lot of talent out there. And I feel like when our community have access to information or access to events or access to quality people, that we can really facilitate some really positive things and change them in a positive way. So I'm not a politician. I tell people I'm a practitioner, and I've been knee deep in being a practitioner pretty much the majority of my life.
No, that's amazing, Edgar. And I appreciate you taking the leap out there for politics. It is not an easy thing to do out there, listeners. Easy to criticize, but not so easy to actually find the courage to step up and run. We've been talking about sports all day today, right? And you've obviously got a strong sports background. What could you do as Pima County Supervisor for District 3? How could you use that seat to help bring in additional sporting events into Southern Arizona?
You know, what I've realized in my 54 years of being on this earth is that we want people that have the information and the experience to be at the table when some of these decisions are made. So a few things that I've learned and I think are going to help me along the way. First of all, I come from a family of service. My dad, my family of teachers, police officers, and it's just in my blood. Like, I want to help people reach their higher self and make sure that they get the most out of themselves. And the other thing I think that I add is that I've been through a lot of the things that have happened here in Tucson. What I've realized is that if we can figure out a way to pull in the same direction, you know, Tucson has more nonprofits per capita than anywhere in the country, which is great because we have a lot of caring people, but also we're all kind of fighting for the same resources. So if there is a way to bring everybody together and pulling in the right direction, I think we'd get some amazing things done. And one of the things I think that I offer that's different is I've been a coach, part of a team. And there was a time at Pima when I was the Dean of Arts and Humanities, and it was an acting role. I was supposed to do it for two months. I did it for a year and 2 months. And I remember a lot of the faculty and people not happy because you had this executive director of athletics coming in to be their Dean of Arts and Humanities. And by the end of that year, these same faculty that weren't happy that I was there were saying, thank you for being part of it. I guess we just needed a coach to bring us together. So I feel like that experience, where I used to kind of put it on the shelf, I don't want to tell people I'm in athletics because of the whole dumb jock thing, or I get pigeonholed in that area, actually has been really something that has helped me be successful at what I do now, because I'm able to bring teams together, get people in the right roles, and get everybody pulling in the right direction.
Without a doubt, we talk about it all the time in business, the difference between our business being a family and being a team. Mm-hmm. And this may sound a little cold and callous, but being a family means supporting the sick, the weak, and the non-performing. Being a team can mean replacing weaker members on the bench with somebody stronger that can come in off the bench and get you a hit when you need it in the bottom of the ninth. And it seems like this is something you've really done well with Pima Community College.
Well, I love what I do. I've worked at Pima for 27 years now. And before that, I was a middle school teacher at Wakefield Middle School, and taught social studies, PE, and health. And so, like, I've been part of this. And the team approach is the way to go about. We're all in this together, right? And if we can support each other and just work together, we can get a lot done. The other part that I want to mention is that, you know, just being of service. Like, my role at Pima, when I tell people I'm a vice president, I tell my employees, hey, you're my boss. I'm here to get you what you need to be successful. You know, if you're telling me in your classroom you need certain equipment or something, my job is to get you what you need to be successful. And I think that's our job in these elected roles, is to get the people that are actually, you know, doing the work what they need so they can be successful. So I'm excited about this. The one thing I want to mention is, you know, one of the things I'm running on is I have a personal story of a former ball player of mine who's been in and out of rehab and unhoused, the homelessness, and I've gotten knee deep in trying to help him through all the different systems and co-behavioral services, Kodak, La Frontera, and I've really got to understand our homeless issue a little bit. We actually created a nonprofit organization which he chairs, and I'm on that committee talking to the homeless, like, what are these needs? And I think getting everybody in the room to talk about how do we fix our homeless issue? What can we do so that we don't see people camping out on the side of the streets? And what can we do to help serve them and make sure they get the things that they need so that they can be successful and live a life of meaning and purpose?
No, that's amazing, Edgar. Like, I can't salute you enough for this one over here. Again, you've been listening to Edgar Soto here on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. He's announced that he's going to run for Pima County Board of Supervisor for District 3. Edgar, you certainly have my support for that position. I've had the opportunity to sit on a number of charity and community boards with you, and I appreciate it. Hopefully, you'll get Tuffy the Toro's support for that one as well, too. He doesn't give that one out quite as easily these days, but we'll see what you can do with baseball moving forward on that one as well. It's been an amazing opportunity to get to talk some baseball here with both you and with Jay Zucker, owner of the Sidewinders and Toros. And I'm hoping that maybe we could have this discussion together, the three of us, sometime on ways to make this better in the future for Southern Arizona. What can we do? Could it be the Mexican Baseball League? Could it be the World Baseball Classic? Like, there's so many different opportunities. El Cities de Caribe, right? There are just some neat things that are going on over here that I think we can do here in Southern Arizona. Do we need a new stadium or not? Big questions, right? If you build it, they will come, as they say. And I hope that maybe with you as a board of supervisor, we can build it. And I hope that maybe they can come. Again, you've been listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Join in tomorrow for Tom Moulton, Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance. He's going to have a great show for you. Thanks again, and have a great day. Jump in Tucson.